This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Many of you, it's a holiday week next week. If it is, happy early sort of maybe almost vacation time. We're going to make the next few hours fly by. We got a great show lined up for you. Thank you for listening here on CBS Sports Radio on your incredible affiliate. If you're listening later. If you're listening later on the podcast on the Odyssey app or listening now on the free Odyssey app, thanks. Appreciate you. Phone number for all of you, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer. A couple shockers in the NBA. One that made the prettiest of daddies. Pretty daddy. Tom DeCelestino, the executive producer, the man who some would argue, not me always, feels nothing, feel everything in a regular season NBA game. We'll get into that. We've seeded some hatred. We've transferred some venom. And I respect the hell out of it. Dodgers dominate. A sign of things to come for that ridiculous lineup. Shohei Ohtani controversy. One thing we've talked about. Told you, Ohtani's makeup and really the way that he's isolated from his teammates. Language barrier and other things. I think always meant he's going to have an incredible year. I think the ballpark, when he's playing, will be a refuge from all the things that are going to swirl around him. It's one game. But what a start for him and his teammates. We'll talk some opening day baseball, including the Dodgers. Our buddy, our colleague, the outstanding national March Madness college basketball expert, guru, genius. Can I go there? He's really good. John Rothstein on the show an hour from now. We've got Buy or Sell. We've got Bum of the Week. It's all happening. And because it's a Friday, because we're feeling that energy, because Tom and I in the morning, let me pull back the curtain how the show works. We'll exchange some text messages, we'll have some ideas, and we'll get together via phone, because I'm in L.A., he's in New York, we're hanging out on Skype now. He's wearing some kind of, you know, wannabe jazz, I don't know, sweatshirts all black with a hoodie or a turtleneck thing. Turtlenecks are aggressive. We'll figure out what to talk about. Today, Tom said, let's not plan, let's jazz. And I said, no, but I love your spirit and your essence, because he's basically halfway to South Carolina for his road trip, which we'll talk about later. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Bill. Happy Friday to you.
Like. Now, is that a turtleneck or is that just a real tight hoodie?
I guess it's a little too tight. No
turtleneck.
Looks good. I got a hood
looks
on
good.
The back.
When's the last time you rocked a turtleneck on purpose?
Got to be like for middle school picture day.
I think 22. I bought one and it looked pretty good. And then I saw myself in a mirror and I didn't wear one again. There's a pretentiousness to that no, thank you. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard to pull off a turtleneck.
I heard something yesterday about from a well-known media personality, a woman, how men should hit on women, and it basically was, you know what? It reflected the accidental success that I had in college when I met my wife, and it also reflects that I'm not smooth. So I'm going to tell you about that also later in the show, okay? It's coming up. You ready? You excited?
I'm fired up. I'm excited, but I'm not ready for it.
So Henry, my son, and I, Henry and I, decided to go to a Sweet 16 game yesterday here in L.A., here in Los Angeles, down at Crypto Arena, where the Lakers play. We went to the first game. We went to Clemson, Arizona, and there was obviously a second game involving UNC, Alabama, and heading in to yesterday's action, halfway to the Elite Eight, more games today, and obviously we'll talk about these things with John later in the show. I was annoyed by the chalk that was forming. I was a little frustrated with rewarding people like Pretty Daddy, who just decided to take ones and twos and threes and fours the whole way. And we had a little bit of disruption, a little more madness in our march yesterday, including the game that I was at. Now, yes, UConn rolled and dominated poor San Diego State, but UNC went down to Alabama last night, 89-87, in a really, really good game. And the game that I went to, Arizona-Clemson, was pretty riveting, despite the fact that Clemson built a huge lead early on. And you saw in Arizona just a ridiculous amount of nerves and a ridiculous amount of worry. And I was reminded, Tom, why, when I covered it, I love March Madness so much. Because, and maybe this comes across in person more than it does on TV, I don't think so. Maybe I spend too much of my time outside of this job, this is probably true, around the NBA and covering the NBA. There is a nervousness, there's a nervous energy that permeates college basketball, because as talented as those young men are, and they are, and as much as some of them earn now because of NIL, and again, I think that is the right thing, even if we haven't figured out the right way to execute young men in America being able to, you know, be paid for what they do, there's a youthfulness, there's a nervous energy. These are not professional athletes in the true sense of the word. And early on in that Clemson game, Arizona got into a huge hole. And Arizona, traditionally this year, a high-scoring team, can rattle off a lot of points, and they could not buy a bucket. In fact, Clemson, Arizona opened the game. It felt like the first 15 minutes. I think it was the first 3 or 4 minutes of actual basketball player, because couldn't get a bucket. And Clemson built a pretty nice lead, and Arizona came back, and Arizona came back, and Arizona came back. And my son Henry, who's doesn't watch a lot of college hoops, said to me, right, he adopted Arizona. He decided that he was an Arizona fan, having never seen Arizona for a moment in his life, and was screaming and yelling. We're in this lounge, this sort of lounge area with maybe 30 other people, and Henry is screaming and going crazy. And it wasn't a put on. He decided he wanted to root for a team, and the energy was so intense and so unique and so different than an NBA game, because you had in this lounge, buddy of mine, business event invited me and my son, you had a bunch of Arizona fans, which is close to, obviously, California, and God bless them, you had a bunch of Clemson fans. And you had a bunch of Clemson fans who clearly flew across America, and the energy and the excitement and the nervousness transferred to my son. In fact, there were in front of us, it was almost as if an alternate universe sort of thing was happening. There were right in front of my son and I in this sort of area, in these seats, were four of the oldest men you've ever seen. I mean, you're talking 85, 90 years old, moving very slowly. One gentleman, did not get his name, is the hippest octogenarian I've ever seen. He had the shoes and the poppin' matching white shirt. And I mean, he had a cane, but it did. I mean, this guy was Batman if he'd retired. This guy was awesome. They were Clemson fans. And look, they were into it. They were big-time Clemson fans. But they were also 80 to 90 years old, so their exuberance was muted only by their age, right? Yeah, we can do it! You know, high fives were kind of like struggling. Directly to their right were four, I don't know, 35-year-old guys. And how do I say this generously and without judgment? They were drunk as could be. They were drunk as skunks, and they were sitting next to each other. And Henry decided to be buddies with the Arizona guys, which was really cool when they were high-fiving when things were going well as the game progressed, because Arizona gets back into the game. They make it a one-possession game, and then Clemson will pull ahead by 3 or 4 or 5, and the Arizona guys would be distraught, and they would realize the solution was tequila. We've all been there. And then Arizona would get back in it, and the Arizona guys would think, we did it. The tequila worked. Let's be loud and raucous and high-five this 11-year-old blonde-haired kid with glasses. And then Clemson will pull ahead a little bit again. So we need, maybe we'll go to bourbon because mixing those is good. And then it got to the point where I had to sort of call Henry back, because Henry wanted to high five him when things weren't going well. We got to 2 or 3 minutes left, and it became pretty clear maybe Arizona's going to blow this thing through some of the worst shooting I've ever seen. There was nerves. They couldn't buy a bucket. Henry, come here. Let's come over here. But what struck me, I love college basketball. I forgot how much I love it, is that the 80 and 90-year-old Clemson guys, and there were four of them, each of them looked exactly like I would have imagined them when I looked to the right to look at the 30-year-old Arizona guys. It was like their earlier selves were divided along team loyalties, and there was this great energy, and these guys were screaming and cheering. And what struck me that's amazing about college basketball, and the thing that you don't get to a degree in the NFL, certainly by this point of the season, because at the NFL level, you kind of know, at least at the end of the year, I know upsets can happen, but you kind of know who's what. Doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. Opening day yesterday, love it, exciting, let's go, everything's great. But in the margins, Dodgers dominance is an example. You kind of know who's a competitor and who's not. Anything can happen in college basketball. And I was worried, and I talked about this yesterday, that maybe the transfer portal and the ability for major schools to have bigger donors and pay more money and all the other factors that are out there might have chipped away at the parity and taken away some of the magic and taken away the ability for upsets. Even a 6-2, which isn't the biggest upset on earth, but we'd had so much chalk. And as Clemson pulled away and won that game, and as Arizona missed shot after shot after shot after shot, and it turned out they were 5 of 28 from three-point range. What an interesting thing to watch a game as a fan when you're accustomed to watching it as a media person, sort of consuming the stats as you go. It just struck me that the joy and the passion of college sports is such an important part of why March Madness is amazing. And even though this train has already left the station, and as I understand the engineering of trains, it's hard to move it from track to track and turn that baby around. Let me say this, because it struck me in a pretty real way. Part of what makes college sports remarkable, because it's not the same quality of product, not collegially, whether it's comparing to the NFL or to the NBA, are these rivalries and this passion. Now in March Madness, Arizona-Clemson becomes a rivalry, even though they're on the other side of the country from each other, because there's so much at stake. And for Arizona, there's the sense of, we are a 2 seed. We are good enough to do this. We have a coach who has Tommy Lloyd, by the way, has not been able to live up to the level of expectations that he should. Last night's loss to Clemson. Last year, they were a 2 seed. They lost to 15 seed Princeton. Remember that first round? Heartbreaker. Year before, they were the 1 seed. They lost to Houston in the Sweet 16. Now, Houston's obviously a real program that continues to be a real program. But the magic of these teams playing each other was their expectations and the idea of March Madness, anything can happen. In the regular season, there's rivalries. And then we start to pull those away. When you start to change conferences, when the Pac-12 becomes the Pac-2, when you have schools that are changing constantly, I'll give you one that's 10 years old. Mizzou, KU, where I'm from, Missouri, Kansas, isn't a thing. They don't play in the same conference. And so that, watching that game, being around my son, watching his joy, watching the old gentleman with the style and the drunk Arizona dudes who are currently as hungover as any person has ever been on the face of the earth, it just reminded me of the passion that's possible in college sports. And the thing that college sports and whoever the power brokers are and become, and probably going to be the athletic directors of the SEC and the Big Ten, because wherever college football goes, college basketball is going to follow. As magical as last night was, March is 1 month out of the year, and college football is most months out of the year. They've got to hold on to and remember that what I experienced last night, and what those of you experience when you're rooting for your teams, and what can reach everybody, including my wife who doesn't like sports, or my son who's trying to figure out what sports he wants to root for, that idea of March Madness and that pageantry and that tradition, because watching that game last night, and by the way, I happened to be at the Clemson win, right? I left it before the Alabama upset over UNC. What a great game. And there's games tonight. Watching those things and the belief, in my case, that Clemson can win, and explaining to my son, well, yeah, I mean, Clemson's an underdog, but they're a 6 seed, but that's not impossible. That is connected, not because I am watching every moment of Clemson basketball this year. It's because there's a history and tradition of March Madness. There's an understanding that's built up for all of us that this tournament creates something special. And if you make that special thing that reaches back from the past to connect to sports now, if you make it only in March, if you make it only a couple weekends a year, you're going to lose something. So my takeaway from going to that game last night was college sports have got to hold on to their traditions and their pageantry and the DNA of all the things that connect to where they come from, even as change happens really, really, really quickly. My other lesson was I gotta make my son less aggressive because he's more like me. Tom, can I tell you this story about my kid, what he did to this poor guy?
Oh, please do.
Oh, man. This was a 15-2 upset. Henry's the 15 seed in this conversation, this poor adult, a 2 seed. So I'm in this thing called the Hyde Lounge. Never been there at Crypto. And it's really big. And there's food. There's fajitas are amazing. I'm doing dry March, but obviously the Arizona guys were drinking like crazy. I think for free. I don't know. Didn't even want to ask. And there's these couches. There's assigned seats, sort of, what I didn't have in front. in this skybox type area where the old gentlemen were and the drunk Arizona fans were. And then there's couches behind them. They're big and they're comfortable and they're cool. My buddy, Scott, thank you, Scott, who invited me, is doing business there. So he said, hey, go grab this couch. We'll hang out. But he's mingling, he's schmoozing, he's talking to clients, right? So me and Henry and I have this giant, giant couch just to us to watch the game. But Henry wants to go sit with the drunk Arizona guys before I kind of pulled him back, right, on the little staircase that goes down. He almost took out one of the octogenarians, by the way. Almost just straight took him out. Glad he didn't. And so I'm sitting there, and there's a really sweet guy, maybe 30. Turned out he's an entry-level guy at the business, right? Awkward, like we're all kind of awkward. We don't know somebody. And he's hey, can I sit on the couch? I'm like, yeah, man, have a seat. And I'm not that social. But yeah, how's it? And he's making small. He doesn't know anybody. He's at an event with 40 people. Didn't have a plus one. Doesn't know anybody. Let's be nice to him. So I'm on this 40-foot couch. On one side, he's on the 40-foot couch. On the other side, there's plenty of room, and the fajitas come out. And Henry's like kind of down, you know, a little. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go over, and I'm gonna get some fajitas for Henry. Come back 20 minutes later, the guy's gone. I walk by him. He's sort of pale. I'm like, that's weird. Sit down. Henry's on the couch, and he goes, Dad. This is my son, Henry. Yeah, what's up, buddy? Dad. There was a guy in our seat. I mean, before I could say, yeah, I invited him, Henry goes, yeah. He asked me if it was okay if he sat here. I go, oh, what'd you say? I told him. I stared in his eyes, and Henry like stares me in the eyes. He goes, no, you gotta go. Henry kicked this poor guy out, man.
I love it.
It's mean. So then the guy, I said this, Henry's so funny. Guy came back later and sat down. I'm like, you can sit down. And Henry like goes right up to him and stares him in the eye and goes, how's it going, bro? And the guy's like, good, good. Henry's like, give me a high five. Gives him a high five. Henry, who has become an Arizona fan, I don't know, an hour earlier, goes, who are you rooting for, Arizona or Clemson? This is his third quarter at this point. And the guy, having seen Henry's boisterous cheering, goes, Arizona, bro. And Henry nods and turns to me and goes, he can stay. And then went back to hang out with the Arizona guys.
He's okay now.
I love the passion. All right, we're halfway to the Elite Eight. We got some upsets. We got some magic. And it is refreshing to watch sports sometimes and just be reminded that the magic of it is connected to something more than just what kid did I get out of some high school, that some booster that I'll never even be able to hang out with because he's so rich, paid him $10 million to pretend to, I don't know, sell his hot dogs or his cars or his watches or whatever the hell's out there. It was a really cool night. We got some great games coming up tonight. We'll talk to John Rothstein about that. Happy Friday to those of you that celebrate Happy Good Friday. I know it is a somber day for those of us, but it is still a holiday. Appreciate you being here. Phone number is 855-2124-CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, at Pretty Daddy CBS. If you want to hit up Mr. Tom DeCelestino, let's talk some NBA upsets and the way that me and you, wherever you're listening, together, even if you don't share this, have seeded in Tom a deep-seated disgust for Doc Rivers and how it came out in an emotional torrent he didn't expect. We'll reveal that to you next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
It's not an existential crisis, I don't think. I don't actually know what that means. It sounds cool, though, doesn't it?
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. A little Friday energy going on. People are all mad their brackets are getting busted, though. Here's the other problem with chalk, and I'm speaking directly to Tom, but also in general. It makes people feel a lot smarter about college hoops than they are. It's like, oh, I cracked the code. So all these people across America thought erroneously, I'm going to win this thing. I got it. I finally did it. And then, what is that smug look? Do you have Clemson and Alabama in your Elite Eight?
I had Arizona losing, but I lost North Carolina. I had them in my Final Four.
You have Clemson in your Elite Eight.
How about that?
That's actually really impressive.
But I also had the Florida Gators in the Final Four who lost in the first round.
Let me ask you, is that because you knew that Clemson went to UNC this year and played like ballers and you saw the potential and the promise in that team, or just you thought it was, orange is a cool color and it kind of struck you in the moment?
No, I'm a big fan of the color orange.
Color orange. I mean, yeah, Bama Clemson. I mean, here's the thing. We just got a tweet that it's the worst game ever, ruined his bracket. I get it. I'm into it. I'm into these kind of upsets, and it's nice to see a 1-2 go down. Not because I got anything against UNC or Arizona. I like a little bit of a magic. Now, UConn-Illinois is not exactly a world beater of upsets, but I'm a Brad Underwood guy. I know Brad back from the day. You know what? When we come back from, you and I are on vacation next week. When we come back from vacation, maybe I'll hit Brad up and have him on the show. I am not philosophically as into guests as some of my colleagues are here on the airwaves, which may be wrong. Maybe the wrong thing. I probably should be having buddies of mine on if their teams are playing in the old tournament. Tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Tournament.
Tournament. I guess we'll need tournament. That's what you guys say when you get excited. You and Bogish. Tournament. I like it. I guess given the schedule of things, we really would need Illinois to basically like win the whole thing. So that's kind of
win out.
I mean, they can. They're kind of in the mix. And what games do we got? What do we got tonight? We got Houston Duke coming up, right? That'll be a great game. And what am I forgetting? There's one like, oh, is NC State Marquette tonight?
NC State Marquette, and you got Purdue Gonzaga.
I'm rooting for the Zags there. Does Matt Painter get banished from college basketball if he doesn't win?
Apparently, he doesn't win the whole thing.
Some pretty magical outcomes last night. Two huge upsets. The Atlanta Hawks. Remember, they don't have Trae Young. He's got that weird injury that he's dealing with, and presumably he'll be back soon. But DeJounte Murray is the guy. I like Murray a lot, and there's sort of talk about maybe Atlanta. It's not working despite having beaten the Boston Celtics last night. And they beat Boston a few days ago in that crazy 30-point comeback. DeJounte Murray had, 44 points on 44 shots. That is not efficiency at its highest level, but it's a win, and he hit the game winner, and the guy's an absolute baller. That's a big win, but it wasn't, and it is not as Milwaukee, look, I'm just going to talk to Wisconsin, okay, because they're all mad at me for something I wrote. And I can't find it, but didn't somebody tweet at us Bill Ryder was right about Doc Rivers? You got that in front of you?
It was short and sweet, right to the point. Hashtag Bill was right about Doc.
Yeah. I mean, so I wrote something, been real popular lately in the NBA reporting circles. Wrote something on the Bucks. I think it was this week, just sort of looking at why Doc Rivers, however you chop up Doc Rivers' runs, it's not more impressive than Adrian Griffin. It's just not. And they proceed to lose some ugly games. But last night's loss for the Bucks, I think, it's telling in two ways. First of all, the Pelicans are a legit team. It's not like it's a terrible loss. Those of you that bet, New Orleans is one of only four teams in the NBA that are in the top 10 in offensive rating and defensive rating. All right, one of them is the Boston Celtics, who did lose last night to Atlanta, but are still the favorites in the East. And I don't think the Celtics are a lock, by the way. We can hit that. We have another time. But no one is surprised that Boston's in the top 10 in offensive and defensive rating, which is a historical marker of a championship team. And the exceptions are, do you have Kevin Durant and Steph Curry? These teams don't. Do you have Shaquille O'Neal? These teams don't. Do you have Michael Jordan? These teams don't. Tonight, you probably want to be in the top 10 in both, history tells us. So one is the Celtics. All right, they're good. One is this team called the Denver Nuggets, Tom. Do you know who they are? They're pretty good. Okay. Do you want to guess the third that's not the Pelicans? Sort of obnoxious of me, but do you want to guess? It's hard, right? There's a lot of good teams.
I'm going to say Minnesota, but I know that's not right.
It's very close. It's not. They're mediocre offensively. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Almost top five in both. Who I don't, because of their age, consider a contender, but they could win the West, and they are clearly one of the best teams in the NBA, and I could certainly be wrong. And the fourth team is the Pelicans. New Orleans is really, 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 really good. But it's another loss for the Bucks. It's another concern. It's another lack of offensive output, which is a thing that's somewhat been lost. Pelicans are good defensively, but if you're the Bucks and you are a championship-level team, you probably have to be able to win some of these games. I am very worried about Doc Rivers. I have been through that. That's not new. What I didn't know is that you don't... I didn't realize your passion against Doc. And let me say, let me preface this with, I'm the same way. I root for my own self-interest in sports now. If I write something, I want it to be true. If I like someone, I want them to win. That's why I root for Kansas, even though I went to Missouri, and I have a good friend, a friend of mine, Jeff. I've been known to Jeff since my second week of my freshman year of college, who obviously went to Mizzou with me, and he will get actually angry at me. He's the chillest person I know when I root for Kansas, because Kansas to Mizzou is cats and dogs. It's Tom and a nun looking for directions. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's whoever you want to point toward. But I like Bill. I just like Bill Self as a human person. That's why I was so happy for Scott, Drew, and Baylor. Great. They're great guys. They're great people. But the reverse can be true, too. And I have not had wonderful interactions with Chris Paul. Don't root for his teams. And I have not had wonderful interactions with Doc Rivers. And more of that is just, I don't think he's particularly effective. It's more, not all, but more of that. So I tend to root against Milwaukee. And I'm sorry, Wisconsin, from Dubuque. Love you guys. I got family there. Dubuque, Wisconsiners will know, is on the border of Wisconsin. I went to a Catholic school. A bunch of Wisconsin kids went there. It's like a tri-state kind of thing. I love your front office. I like the people in the front office. I'm a huge Giannis guy. I love Dame. Like, Dame and Giannis, good people on top of being, like, world-class athletes, like, just nice guys to be around. I did not realize that my emotional sort of investment in rooting against Milwaukee right now has transferred to Utah.
It has, and it has in a big way. I mean, look, Bucks-Pelicans last night was the NBA TV game. The local coverage of New Orleans' broadcast was on, and I was flipping back and forth between that game and the four college games last night. And, Bill, I got nothing against Milwaukee. I really like Giannis. Dame's got a chance to finally win a championship, not in Portland anymore. Good for him. I can't stand Doc Rivers. I can't stand him.
Was that true before you were producing this show?
No. No. And I'm not going to pretend like I know Doc's coaching ins and outs. I'm not smart enough for that. Why he runs this defense, this offense, it's not about that. It's really, since working with you, it's highlighted you're not supposed to get 16 years worth of coaching championship-level teams and players.
You were yelling.
Yelling at the TV last night.
Literally, because you don't ever have any emotion.
And I don't care about New Orleans whatsoever. They could get swept in the first round or win the championship. I don't care. It's Doc. It's purely about Doc for me.
Welcome to the club. Did I ever tell you, do you want just a random one-off? Did I ever tell you that there's a house that's next to me in L.A. that is a huge, beautiful monstrosity of a home? It is amazing. I live in a hovel. So I want you to picture the Death Star next to a Hobbit dwelling. Okay? The house next to me is for rent. And Rajon Rondo almost rented it once. I think we had this talk on the air. Did I ever tell you that LeVar Ball and the Mello or the Ball kids almost rented it once too?
That could have been interesting.
What would have been a better or worse pairing? Me next to Rondo or me next to the Bulls with LaVar's home with the Bulls?
I think the Bulls would have been worse.
You think party time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Now, look, I'm not saying it would have went well with Rajon, but I think the Bulls would have gone worse.
Rajon's wife hated, or is it wife? I think it is. Hated the woman that he brought with him. We listened. We just sat in the front yard. We just sat in the front yard and watched them look at the house. Is that weird? We did it. I didn't care. What's up, guys? I'm Bill. My friends. Do you play pickleball?
Now, did you know that they were, like, on their way to look at the house?
So the landlord told me that an NBA player was going to come look at the house. And so I may have positioned myself in the front. But it's L.A. You're in the front yard all the time, right? I mean, L.A. prices are such that, I don't know if people know this, our kitchen is all of our rooms. That's just it. That's the house. We have a kitchen.
Right, right.
I sleep on the counter, right? You know, it's what it is. The sink, I would call a portable bathtub. It's a very small place. So we're outside a lot, right? So I could do that. Now, with the Ball family, just the landlord told me, like, oh, yeah. We almost ran into this guy, too. You ever heard of LeVar Ball? Yeah. I think it would have been, I like all of those guys. I think I would have enjoyed that.
I think it would have been a lot of noise.
I think LeVar's a talker, though. So, like, I don't always want to be social with my neighbors. I think I would have had to just accept talking time in the front yard.
I think there would have been a lot of talking time.
I don't think it's party talk. I don't think it would have been party time.
I mean, you got, if it's all of them?
Well, it's just him, and I think they obviously have their own lives.
Right, but they're going to come and go,
yeah,
in and out.
For the vacations.
Right.
I think it'd be cool. We would have had the name drop every show. Be like, oh, yeah, I was talking to Mello yesterday. He's funny. And then he would say to someone in somewhere else, oh, this Phil guy won't leave me alone.
Who is this Phil guy?
He hosts a racing podcast or something? All right. I wanted to get into your road trip. Oh, we got time. Who cares? Chris will wait. He's chilling. What's going on with your road trip?
We are leaving tomorrow for South Carolina, and we are leaving before the crack of dawn.
How long is South Carolina from New York City, from Jersey?
Without Jersey. Stopping, straight through, normal traffic should be about 13 hours.
You're not making 13 hours with your 2.5-year-old. You're nearly 3-year-old. You're going straight through?
I mean, we're not stopping like overnight.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, no stopping.
You're going to put Will in a car for 13 hours of driving plus the 14 stops for the potty and the food and the screaming and the daddy, I see a cow.
I feel like you're judging my parenting right now.
I'm not. I am commiserating for your journey you don't understand. Have you read The Odyssey?
No.
Me either. I don't know anything about it, but I think it was wasn't easy, and the guy didn't realize.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Beats me.
I don't know either. Was it Odyssey? No, it wasn't. Did you know that Odyssey, our company name, one-third of the inspiration is Odyssey?
I don't think that's true.
I think it is true.
I don't know about that.
Maybe I'm making an audacious statement. I don't understand. No, I think it is true. You're going to... Good luck.
How long do you think it'll take? 13 hours straight through, no traffic, and that's without stopping.
My first thought was 17 hours. My second thought was 21 hours.
Wow. Those are both
17 hours.
Much more than I want.
You're going to hit traffic.
My goal was 15.
I mean, what's he doing food-wise right now? He's just real food, right?
Yeah, real food all the way.
Yeah, you're screwed, bro.
Thanks.
Can you give me life? Because I'll be driving leisurely up the coast of California. I'll be doing a 3-hour drive over 6 hours just for fun. Can you give me live updates? Can you have your wife give me live updates from your phone? I know you won't, but I want them. Like every hour, just what's happening.
Yeah, it's just gonna go straight downhill. But yeah, I could do that. We can make that happen.
Speaking of an interesting odyssey and an interesting journey, the Dodgers have embarked on what could be one of the most fascinating seasons that we've seen in a long time in MLB. Not just because of the expectations on the field, but obviously what is going on with Shohei Ohtani. Pretty good start to their marathon yesterday at Dodger Stadium. We'll talk some opening day and some Dodgers dominance after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Chris DePresti.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Happy opening day. Baseball's the worst.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, Tom playing dirty with the... Let me ask you this. How many rejoins? What you just heard, wherever you're listening, is a rejoin. When we rejoin, or you rejoin us, or whatever the hell, we play a little clip. How many we got in the system that are playable?
Easily over 300.
And how many segments today did we do a rejoin? Four?
Five out of six.
We do a rejoin in the open of the show that I've missed?
We got two. Wow. Five out of six. I'm not even close. We do three.
No. Yeah.
I need this vacation, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah. Henry yesterday, my son Henry, took me. Dad, come here. And he made me get down on a knee to look me in the eye. And I'm not making this up. He cupped his hands around my face. So I thought it was really serious. Right? Like, you know, whatever. Dad, I'm like, yeah, man. He goes, I need a damn vacation. Me too, man. Especially after my son just did that to me.
I am on the same page as Henry.
Yeah. Everybody deserves a little time off, right? Little chill time. Is Bogus filling in for me next week? I haven't even looked at that thing.
Bogus has 3 shows next week.
Good. So you all get to hang out with who's producing next week?
That's a great question.
You almost said that's not my problem.
That's not what I said, though.
It's 100% what you thought. Opening day yesterday. Congratulations on your team either being undefeated or just a game back of whatever race that you're in. If that, congratulations on still thinking you can win your fantasy baseball league. What a beginning. The Dodgers got it going. By the way, can I just put this into context again? How ridiculous Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman are. Not only have each of those guys won an MVP in their time, and not only is Ohtani obviously, I think it's obvious, the best player on earth. I think scandal's fair. The scandal for him, or isn't a translator, however you want to sort of phrase it, swirling around him. He is still the best player on the face of the earth. He's won 2 MVPs. They've all won one. This I forgot about, and Tom, you reminded me this morning. Mookie and can I call them Freddie? Can we go cash? Mookie and Freddie finished 2nd and 3rd in NL MVP voting last season behind Ronald Acuña Jr. Meaning, not only are these guys former MVPs, but they cannibalize each other's votes and very well could have been MVPs last year. You have 3 former MVPs who still perform like MVPs and who will very likely, and maybe not because they're on the same team, win MVPs together going forward. It's not as if you say you have 3 former MVPs and one of them is a 40-year-old, I don't know, Ricky Henderson, trying to hang on to his last ounces of glory. And you saw it yesterday. These guys hit 1, 2, 3. Betts is the leadoff hitter. Then you got Shohei. Then you got Freddie Freeman in the 3-hole. They were 5 for, listen to this. They were 5 for 8, these 3 guys, with 4 walks. So they were 9 for 12 in terms of like getting on base. They drove in 4 runs. They hit 2 homers. Everybody but Shohei got a dinger. And these dudes scored 6 of the Dodgers, 7 runs. I think they won 7-1. Utter and total domination. And Tyler Glasnow, by the way, pitched fine, right? They're not going to throw a bunch of innings at him early on. And the Dodgers' philosophy is always, especially early in the year, they don't need innings eaters. Andrew Friedman, who's the president of baseball operations, believes, and I think he's proven, that he can take any collection of arms and make a successful bullpen. That's one of his specialties going back to his Tampa Bay days. So they're happy to have guys go 6-7 innings if you need to, especially game 1. So Glasnow goes 6 innings, gave up an earned run, pitched really, really well. Just a couple hits, I think, right? It was basically like the old Cleveland major league line where what's his name? We got 1 bleeping hit. You can't say bleep, but don't worry, nobody's listening anyway. It was that night. I mean, what a start for the Dodgers. And the thing about Shohei, I was thinking about this last night, that I think should be most troubling for baseball. I don't think that they're particularly well run, and I've talked about that. Even though, and credit Robert Manfred, the commissioner, I think speeding the game up, the game going quicker, it is an important move, and it was a required move because the attention spans of people that are younger than I am and where you're listening, maybe younger than you are shorter. Technology's here. It ain't going away. People are on their phones all the time. Baseball games being too long is a problem. So you have to make the general product more interesting to fans and how they consume the world. That's the deal. But the general product being generally more interesting isn't going to get it done. Yes, baseball is very relevant in its individual markets. I'm not saying that it's not. If you are listening in Milwaukee or New York City or Chicago, or you're in the Metroplex or you're in South Florida, whatever. You're into the Marlins or the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets or the Royals in Kansas City or whatever the case may be. Baseball, that's not an issue. That's why it's part of baseball's problem, by the way. Part of the issue for baseball is that they're so relevant locally and they make so much money from television rights because local markets are going to pay for those TV rights because you can't TiVo that they haven't had to be nationally relevant, and they've slowly fallen behind in a significant way. But for national relevance, right? To be not even on the same level as the NFL, just playing the same game. The NFL is a national sport and a national brand. That it's obviously, if you're in Kansas City, you're really into Chiefs games. But if there's not a Chiefs game on and there's NFL games on and you're in Kansas City, Missouri, or anywhere else in America, you are watching the game if you're a sports fan. That's not true in baseball. Tom and I have discussed this a ton. But wherever you're listening, and you know it's true unless you're an exception, if your team isn't on or your hometown team isn't on, you're not saying, well, the Mariners are on. I guess I'll go watch the Mariners game. And that is the issue for baseball. You don't even have the advantage of, I'll go back to the NFL. I was talking to a guy yesterday at the Clemson-Arizona game. I talked to a guy yesterday. He's not really an NFL fan. Like, he'll watch some local games here in town. And he asked me who I root for. And I said, well, I don't really root for anybody, but I'm a Bears fan. I hate them. And he thought that was funny. And even he's not a big NFL guy. And I go, but I covered the Chiefs for a while. I lived in Kansas City for almost 10 years. My kids were born there, so I watch every Chiefs game. And this guy, 30 seconds after telling me he doesn't really watch NFL games, goes, oh, I watch every Chiefs game too. Baseball fans don't even do that. They don't even have a team where they go, well, I'm not really into baseball that much, but I'm going to watch. The answer is probably the Dodgers. And maybe it's the Yankees, but there's not I make fun of Tom for calling the Cowboys America's team, but the reality is there is not an America's team in baseball, which is a big problem for a sport that likes to pretend it's America's sport. And the Dodgers can be an answer and a solution to that. It doesn't have to be the Dodgers. And I know I'm biased because I live in L.A., but they are. Ohtani is the catalyst for that. Hasn't been enough. The Dodgers have all this talent, have won a bunch of games. The way that was always going to happen, the way that was always going to go down, is that somebody arrived that lifts himself even bigger than the brand of baseball. And that's why Ohtani going to the Dodgers was so significant. Because when he's doing the things that make him magical, if he does them with the Dodgers, people might tune in and say, this is interesting too. Because let's be fair, a lot of people, not enough, but a lot of people tuned into Angels games sometimes when Ohtani was doing something really cool. Nobody came away saying, and the Angels are worth watching. They actually kind of said the opposite. If you can pull people into the Dodgers product that aren't Dodgers fans, you can probably win people over to wanting to go back to that product. Ohtani's the one thing that can do that. Literally in baseball. There's not another single guy that can do it. And now that is a little damaged and a little worrisome. But maybe not. Fans forgive a lot of things. They don't care about a lot of things. And by the way, there is absolutely zero proof that Ohtani's done a single thing wrong. Maybe hopefully he's just been duped by a friend. And last night's game, I think, was the perfect possibility on display. Because Ohtani was mesmerizing, and he was cool, and he played well. But it was also, oh, this Mookie Betts guy is pretty good. And this Freddie Freeman guy is pretty good. And, oh, yeah, the Dodgers actually have some pitching. It was an utter and total level of domination. And it was a lot of fun to watch. And by the way, they're not amazing, but the St. Louis Cardinals are like a pretty good baseball team. It's not like they're beating up on whatever. I mean, you're not going to play the Oakland A's because they're the American League, but you understand the comparison. It really is mesmerizing stuff. I don't know if baseball can win enough people over to bring it back nationally. And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe being a local sport is enough. But that's when I was a kid. Baseball was everything. I knew every baseball player. I was into every game. I still love the sport. But like Rob Dibble, right? Don't accuse me of being a baseball hater. I'm not. Dibbs was on yesterday. Rob Dibble, former big leaguer, so-called bad boy with the Reds. Great, great guy. I mean, I would not open palm slap him in a bar, but like an amazing, amazing guy. And he has the same thing. He loves baseball much more than I do, but I love it. And he is so frustrated by its inability to be what it should be to sports fans. If you really love baseball, you are angry about baseball, by the way. And if you say you love baseball, you're mad at someone like me just because you love the Yankees and all you do is consume the Yankees, you're not a baseball fan. You're a Yankees fan. And that's fine. You can be a Cubs fan or a Dodgers fan or a Royals fan or a Brewers fan. That doesn't necessarily make you a baseball fan. Baseball fan means you're watching baseball all the time even when your team's not on. And that's what baseball is missing. And I know there's a lot of games that happened yesterday, and I could have talked about a bunch of them, but I won't. Why? Because baseball's not relevant enough to do that. The Dodgers can be. And they were fun, and they were exciting, and they were dominant. And there's something, even still, about Ohtani, even on TV, when he walks up to the plate, there is just something that makes me, it does, I kind of catch my breath. There's just, he is that level of a talent. And if you're sort of interested in reconnecting with baseball beyond whatever team you root for, or you're not connected, and you want to kind of get there, I'm telling you, it's not just because I live in L.A. I'm not a Dodgers fan. Dodgers might be that thing. They're built to be extraordinarily exciting. And the Braves are good enough, and the Padres are good enough, I think. that they're going to be challenging the NL and then and in their own division. It's not like it's going to be a cakewalk. Check out the Dodgers. There you go. Public service announcement. No, the Dodgers don't pay me. All right. That was fun. John Rothstein. Talk some college hoops with the best in the business next year on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.